SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com as well. And welcome to, let's do it in order. Welcome to Indiana Grand opening week, Delaware opening week, Royal Ascot week, Belmont Stakes week. Everything's kind of truncated and jammed right up against, like an accordion of action. Unbelievable. Actually, just saying that makes me realize how much there is to do this week. Yeah, big time, right? When we're together tomorrow morning at this hour, Royal Ascot will be underway. Because, you know, one thing, if you heard Nick Luck last week on Thursday, was it Wednesday or Thursday with Nick? Thursday, I think. The new schedule has them starting earlier. And so 8:15 tomorrow, things will get going. And then it heads right into the serious action because, as I said to Nick, they don't waste any time at Royal Ascot, the Queen Anne. The first Group 1 of the week of action. And we will we'll take races. That one we may have. In fact, Kay, we may have to because it's unusual that the Queen Anne gets run before we get on the air. But we may have to pause the player, all right? And we'll get you the, you know, the first Group 1. We're also going to get you Kevin Humphreys' opinions and more. Kev will join us at the top of hour 2 today. Kev, very, very clever for not just for Royal Ascot. And he says he thinks it's going to be a little bit not easier, not with some of these crazy fields that come together. And especially with horses that haven't, you know, necessarily gotten their preps in, but being home, Kev typically does go, he and his wife do frequent Royal Ascot. So he said, you know, working it from home or office is going to be, you know, maybe a little bit easier to follow the action, follow the tote and all that. So we're going to get 2 days of Kev's visits. We'll have his written analysis as well at the website, but he'll join us today and Wednesday. Today, he'll go over the first two cards, and then on Wednesday, he'll go over Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So you'll have replay opportunity, and then you can cross-reference, you know, plus obviously weather and course condition and so forth come into play every year. The Royal Ascot action starting tomorrow morning, 8:15, and running through Saturday. And for those of you that are, you know, able to be home, work from home, you'll be able to enjoy that Sky Sports feed that Nick discussed with us, Nick Luck, and you'll see the NBC. You know, NBC will be picking up that feed, so you can play right along, all right? And it's become really a major part of, you know, the spring, the late spring action, I think, for North American players. It's that simple. It's wormed its way into everybody's heart. the pageantry, not as much pageantry and carrying on as usual, obviously under these conditions without spectators and so forth. But we can still bet on it. we don't have to worry about you know, we don't, I guess we don't have to worry about what the queen is going to wear and the, you know, the coaches and all that. We can just focus in on finding some spots. And, you know, they added some of these handicaps, that have got 24 horse fields, with field runners. I mean, it's crazy. I printed out the PPs yesterday, the first couple of days worth, and seven races, and I got a thick stack here. So looking forward to getting Kev Humphreys in here, and we'll also certainly, you know, touch base with some other international types that enjoy these kinds of stands, and we'll get their thoughts and angles on it. So Kev Humphreys this morning. I mentioned that it's Indiana opening day. Eric Hallstrom is going to join us at the bottom of hour two, and they're excited to get going at Indiana. And another low-cost 11.99% takeout at Indiana on their pick five, and they've got some nice cards to get things going. Again, I mean, everybody dealing with, at least at the starts of the meet, you know, we'll see how much pressure there is on the horse population in different, you know, parts of the country, especially, you know, as we get into the teeth of summer, you know, most notably in the Mid-Atlantic. I mean, with Belmont up and Laurel Parks looming as well, and the other Monmouth starts July 3rd. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, has really made this whole set of conditions fascinating is, you know, how it's created some, you know, tremendous betting opportunities. And, you know, we'll talk about the force out at Gulfstream, go through that. There's been, we had the Churchill pick five yesterday. They had a carryover from Saturday after some fur flu. There's a lot going on. And you know, even speaking of Mid-Atlantic, I mentioned that it's Delaware opening week on Wednesday. Probably reach out tomorrow for a Delaware visit, and it'd be great to connect with Rich Glazer. They've got a terrific opening day card, including the Obeah Stakes. They're kicking it right off. If you haven't had a chance to notice this, the 12-horse Obeah for $100,000. And some familiar names in there, including another of the prominent fillies from Team Asmussen. And you can tell where I'm going here because she's a Julie. You got to be kidding, right? That was some Ogden Phipps on Saturday that I think everybody kind of, you know, unless you hit the all button, and there was potential to go that direction, actually. And it's kind of funny. You know, I put up a pick five, the cross country races, and, you know, because I looked at some of the other New York and the other Churchills, I thought about, you know, pick four, pick fives at both venues. And finally, I said, you know what? I don't like the way this looks. And so I didn't do it. And I ended up putting in the Gulfstream sequence. And I'm glad I did. I took a swing at it. And it was tricky too. You know, far from impossible. But anyway, I'm kind of glad because at Churchill, there was a couple of horses. It's funny, I found one of the tough horses in Sconson, and that actually kind of saved Saturday. But there were other horses in that sequence that were just tough. I mean, just tough. Sir Alfred James, that won the Maiden 50. Dance Rhythms, 10-1 for Greg Foley. So I'm glad I laid off. And in New York, the She's a Julie portion of our program. I couldn't even get to Quality Stones at 5-1, and frankly, in the state bred allowance sprint. So at kind of not disappointed that I didn't, you know, throw 150 or more at those two sequences. There were the She's a Julie win is actually, I suppose, a bit of a handicapping lesson to a degree, and you know, to not judge. You know, you hear Andy say this all the time. In fact, tomorrow we'll talk to Andy and get his specific thoughts. But there was such an impression that, you know, coming back as a 5-year-old, you know, in that Shawnee, she was just, you know, kind of hopped and broke behind the field, and maybe that, you know, was a part of the situation, and the fact that she wasn't involved early, I guess, could have contributed. But boy, here again, she was a little further back than you typically, you know, than when she's been successful. So, you know, it really could be one of those cases where she just needed that season starter at Churchill. You know, just what, two and a half, 3 weeks, right? Yeah, May 23rd. And she'd been away since the Spinster. So, a forgivable, call it forgivable. But it was a thriller. Ollie's Candy ran a whale of a race. And, you know, turn back Blame, who was, you know, pace setting, and Ollie's Candy was never more than a length and change away. You could see that when Ollie's Candy, when Rosario, when Blame fell away, and Ollie's Candy got the lead, you could kind of see that she was going to be threatened. You could see the rallies coming from Point of Honor, and then I, you know, She's a Julie, because she was between. It seems like, you know, she was like the last of the. You were more concentrated, I think, on Point of Honor outside with Castellano, and when the three of them came to the wire, I mean, that was really, you know, people see a 6-horse race and, oh, it's not interesting. It's not a grade one, only 6-horse. Yeah. Well, I don't know how you have a better race than what you had here. I mean, this was really exciting. And so She's a Julie, who is now a you know, 2-time grade one winner. And she's a barn favorite. And of course, named for Julie Asmussen, and just has been an absolute, you know, barn, I don't want to say pet, but I mean, she is the, what I call her, the belle of the barn, I called her the other day on Saturday after the race. The race was just a thriller, and I know some people were kind of counting on Point of Honor, but, you know, that was a nice follow-up. Coming out of the Apple Blossom. So, you know, really, with every passing week, we keep saying this. That's the one part of the scenario, you know, for this, you know, first half of the year. With every passing week, you know, each division keeps getting enhanced, you know, with horses stepping up and horses coming back and so forth. So, and, you know, since we're mentioning the Asmussen barn so prominently here, it's a big day for the family, because Keith, the eldest son of Steve and Julie, yeah, Asmussen, makes his riding debut today at Lone Star in the nightcap. And I just, based on some of the things you've seen from Steve Asmussen, I think the nerves are on high alert. But, you know, there's so many members of the family that, you know, rode and rode prominently. And, of course, Steve, you know, Steve obviously got too tall pretty quick. And Keith is not, you know, Keith's doing it because he's got fitness on his side. He's been able, you know, he's at the University of Texas, and he's a junior. But he's been able to ride every morning. And as a result, he's in race shape. You know, but he's a good-sized young man, 21, and you know, more likely to end up on this, you know, the size and scale of Steve than Cash or his grandfather. So I'm sure there'll be in fact I did here they are. He's on a horse by the name of Senor Jobim. And that's actually a very good race. It's a 6 furlong, 3 and up allowance going 6 furlongs. And there's a couple of nice horses in there. And I saw where Southern Equine sent Sisto out to Deodoro on the outside. That horse debuted prominently for Gio and then tried some deep waters. 8-1. I wouldn't be surprised to see a bit of a snapback. You got Monty Man in here for Ron Fauchot and Scarlet's Blackjack. This is a good race to end the card at Lone Star. And of course, last night, yesterday, they had the big Texas Champions card where Deshaun Parker showed up and tore it up, and then immediately headed to Indianapolis for the Indiana Grand opening. But Deshaun Parker, 4 wins on that stakes card. We'll get some of those results. Mindy Willis with 2 training wins. So many, you know, it's just so much. There were 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and, you know, going even back to Friday, that Uncle Chuck debut for Baffert. That was, what are you going to say? That was another, you know, stunning effort and 95 buyer for you would think at this point that barn would have, you know, run out of prospects. But no, they just keep coming. Looking at this stack of things to talk about, so much here. We're going to have Brian Lynch after the first break talk about admission offices win in the Louisville. Right on cue, okay. We'll have Lynchy in here and got to ask him about Toby's Heart, speaking of 2-year-olds. We'll get an update there. Middleburg, we got to talk about the jumpers. They finally got a chance to hop. And boy, nice afternoon for Jonathan Shepard and Jerry Galligan. Galligan won 3 straight races at one point. Yeah, won 3 straight. Won a maiden special and two maiden specials and a maiden claimer. 2 of them for Shepard. Shepard won 3 on the day himself. And the big feature, the Temple Guathmi Moscato, a romping winner under Mitchell for Jack Fisher. So Jack Fisher starts to gets things right back to speed in short order. I was happy for, I saw that Leslie Young with Andiamo won an allowance. And Andiamo loves that course. He won the National Cup last fall at Middleburg. as well. So slip some of those results in. Put the Lone Star thing over here. Try to stay organized. It will not be easy. There's just too much. There's too much. Woodbine. Mentioned Woodbine. And I told you, Trombetta. Trombetta poaching stakes races for wife Marie. The horse that she owns. News to me up to Toronto under Louis Contreras. And wins the Woodstock. And paid nice. Wesley with Owlette. As well, won the Starship. Speaking of comebackers, funny guy. How about that? The Gatsis team, another nice win. The commentator on Friday, I want to slip this in, because funny guy made a four-year-old debut, 101 Buyer, winning under Rosario, the commentator. And there was just one stake. You know, obviously, it's a stake week in New York. Belmont on Saturday, and actually Friday, too. But Captain Bombastic won the start of the New York Triple. For Maya Engelhart with Luis Saez. Saez has been quiet. So much more. Nice couple of days, actually, at Golden Gate, including the Grade 3 San Francisco Mile. Neptune Storm. That was exciting race last night, too. There's so much here. So much here. All right. We'll get to it. Let's Mandela. Mandela won Saturday, won the Alcatraz, and he won the possibly perfect with dog tag yesterday as well. Let's take a break. We'll start out with Lynch. Do a bunch of things.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
I'm a troubleman.
Back 25 minutes into hour one on this Monday, Belmont week, Royal Ascot week, Indiana Grand week, Delaware week. it's all happening. You know what else I gotta mention that's happening? Friday after I got off the show, Tina got me a bicycle in an attempt to get me to exercise, and. And it's really nice, actually. It's really cool. It's just like a cruiser. It's not like a real bike. But then she ordered one for herself, but it never got delivered. Then they said 2 weeks more. Then they said, 3 months. So she needed a bike. So we went looking all over. First we went down toward Albany, and then we actually found one at the outlets up at Lake George. So we were driving all over the place. So we then it got to be like 4:30, 4 o'clock, and said, you know, getting hungry. What do you want to do? And it occurred to me, you know, things are starting to open up, and I called Pinnell's in Saratoga. It's not my favorite. And sure enough, they said, oh yeah, we're serving, patio and outdoors. And so we get there, and Bruce, of course, who his family has owned it for years, Bruce was there, and we started talking, and Friday night was their first night serving. They had been doing takeout for people, but it was the first night serving, and we ended up being the first people to have a meal, and that was cool. And then it started to get busy. It was early. It was like 5 when we sat down, and then we left about 6:15, and it was starting to pick up. But Pinnell's is open, and you know, for those of you that are coming to Saratoga, like Brian Lynch, he'll be coming to Saratoga. And how you doing?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. I hoping that, you know, by the time everybody gets to Saratoga, things are that much closer to, what we've come to expect and enjoy.
Have they announced that we're definitely running at Saratoga?
Oh, pretty. Yeah, I mean, at this point, the Oklahoma's open, and you know, we'll get some more details when we're downstate this week. But things look good.
Well, great stuff.
You ready to bring you'll bring your usual string?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully we'll take 15 or 20 up there, and this year I think we've been a little stronger than we've been in the last few years, so looking forward to it.
Well, certainly one of the big, horses probably in the first stall admission office. Let's talk about Saturday and the win in the Louisville. You got terrific ride, and from the outside post, you knew you were going to have to rally. Expected to lose some ground, but it ended up he was just best.
Yeah, no, Stevie. You know, he's been a frustrating horse. He's like I said to him, they interviewed me after the race. He's one of them horses. If there was a way to find how to get into trouble, he'd find it. He'd usually give himself too much work to do, get down on the inside, have to weave through traffic, the whole nine yards. So fortunately enough, I've always in the back of my mind thought that Julian would really suit this horse just the way he rides him. And when he jumped off him the other day, he said, I really learned something about this horse today. He said, don't let, hit the lead too soon on him, because he will sort of hang a little bit. And he felt like if he hit him with the stick, he felt like he sulked a bit then too. So, he learned he probably wants to be hand-ridden, I'm sorry. And then you just need the time to run to hit the lead. I thought it was a great effort the other day. He happened to go as wide, but like you said, he just had a great trip. I mean, it was a bit of a hindrance, the outside post, but in the end, it was probably a blessing, because he got to park up there beside Arklow and just, track him. And when he went to the inside, we went to the outside, and we probably, admittedly, it didn't save as much ground as him, but we probably got the kick, we got the jump on him when we needed to, and then, it was just such a great stretch run to see him tucked down on the inside. And, Brad does such a great job, and that, he's, become a fan of that horse, because he beat me one day as a maiden with a horse we had called Brooklyn Bobby, and I thought we had that horse very good at the time, and Arklow broke his maiden at Keeneland very easily, and I can remember driving home that night and saying to my wife, I think he's a good horse, that horse that beat us today. So inevitably he has gone on to be that. So it was you very rarely get to beat Brad too much, so it was great to beat him in one of them races.
Well, and you mentioned Julien Leparoux, an admission office, tracking, and he was doing more than that too, because he had him sort of hemmed in, and so not only were you getting a clean trip, even though you were going to have to lose some ground, didn't do Arklow any favors by any means, and Giroux was kind of forced into the decision he made to try to run the hedge.
Yeah, but, when you look back at the race, and I have a couple of times, he had a great trip. He had a great set ground-saving trip. He saved every inch of ground, and it got a bit tight down there on the hedge, but it did open up for him, and he, like when he hit his stride, he looked like he was going to get buyers, and then Julien said that, as soon as the admission officer sort of felt him there, he just sort of spurged again, and we got the head bump. So, they run it, admittedly that they hadn't had a lot of rain there that week, last week, and so that track got a little bit fast. But, generally, it was a very fast time. I think it was the second quickest running ever at the Louisville. They really finished strong.
I hadn't realized, actually. I'm just looking down. He's been so close to graded stake success, and didn't realize that, all he had was the multiple graded stake placings. So this is nice to get him over the top. And, he certainly has kept nothing but, the best company since you've gotten him. And, he was developing as a 3-year-old for Chad. And, you took over, for him as a 4-year-old. And, other than the Shadwell, he's never run a bad race, really.
Yeah, no, and the Shadwell was a horrible trip. Jose just never got a chance to let him run anywhere, and he just got behind a wall of horses down the lane. And, in all fairness to him, Steve, probably a mile's just too short for him. And now I think we got the chance, which I felt like he's always been crying out to do, is go further. So now sort of that opens up. I tried him before we come up here going a mile the 16th at Gulfstream. I forget the name of the stake, but, the track's so fast down there, you've got to lay close to, but if you're going to be in contention, that you can't come from out of it like you can anywhere else. But so we tried to put him in the race there the other day, and, they ran a mile and 16th. I think they finished up in like 1:38 and change, and he wasn't beaten bad for a horse that was taken out of his element and made to run certainly not the way he wants to run. So it was just great to see him get the mile and a half, because I was always a bit worried that the Day Zulu Alpha beat him in the Macdamanium at the mile and 3/8. I think, I can't remember who rode him that day. It might have been Jose and, Joel.
Manny Franco.
Oh, Manny gave him a great ride that day. That's right, yeah. And he sort of slingshotted off the turn and looked like he was going to get it done, and then he sort of just idles when he gets out there. And Zulu Alpha, who's obviously very good at the time, he he ran by him, and I thought, wow, you know, maybe the mile and 3/8, maybe just a bit too far for him, or maybe the, you know, he's a mile, eighth, mile, a quarter horse. But in the back of my mind, I was always just watching him train and everything. I always thought, God, maybe I got to get a try at him at a mile and a half just to answer that question. And so for him to beat that field the other day, it, you know, it gives you the confidence as the, hopefully racing opens up the rest of the year. There's, you know, there'll be some good opportunities for him.
No doubt. And you know, even on Saturday, and you look at those splits, 24-2, 49-2, 114, those are mundane for a mile and a half. This was, you know, the 139-1. I mean,
yeah,
for him,
yeah,
to, you know, for him to sit where he sat, this was good. This was all the pieces coming together.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
So you just got to keep, we got another talented marathon horse in the barn too, and that's Spooky Channel. So he's a bit of a sleeper, that horse, and he's certainly, you know, starting to get his act together. And now the hard part is to keep them separated.
Well, and you know, we are at the right time of year with plenty of, you know, those kinds of, you know, those kinds of races.
Sure.
In fact,
sure.
What about the Manhattan? Are you looking at the Manhattan?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things on the radar there for him. So, like, you know, Kentucky Downs, you got that Calumet Cup for $1 million,
yep,
going a mile and a half. So, you know, you got the Elkhorn in a month. But you got the, like you say, the Manhattan, you've got so many options as the summer goes on. Hopefully we can keep these horses together, they stay sound and healthy, and we get an opportunity to play on the big stage.
I love it. The United Nations, and the whole summer.
You know,
that
could be a way to keep them two separated. Admission office could go to the United Nations and Spooky Channel to the Elkhorn, or vice versa, you know.
And, well, yeah, it's a good problem to have. You know, Spooky, you ran Spooky like last week or 2 weeks ago, right?
He won something a couple of weeks ago.
Like an
open condition allowance, which was it racked up like a little grade three itself, and I wanted to get a race into him before the Elkhorn, and I wanted to keep him separated from admission office and run him in the Louisville. So I thought, even though I'm shortening Spooky up, you know, just to get a race into him and keep him ticking over, let's try him in this open condition allowance. And I thought he ran great that day. I mean, he just got the right pace to run at. And I really think the horse is coming to hand now. And he was a horse I actually contemplated on sending out for the San Juan Capistrano next week at Santa Anita. I thought he would have been, you know, definitely a big chance there, but the logistics of getting him out there and the flights, it just wasn't going to work. So, but I think he's a relatively lightly raced horse that, appeared out of Arizona, and Clay Branson, who had him over there, had done a great job with him. And fortunately enough, Terry said, well, look, I think let's give him a try. And fortunate enough to win the McKnight with him and then, you know, consequently run him in a couple other stakes there at Gulfstream, where he, you know, one day he ended up on the lead. I don't think, but that's where he wants to be. And, you know, he's running against admission office with Zulu, Alpha, and them sort of horses at the time. But, and he was maybe a cut below him, but over the last month or so, that horse has really come to hand. And I thought the race the other day was a great stepping stone for, mapping out a bit of a program for him for the summer, because I think he could be effective too, keeping them two separated.
Well, and, you know, you're in a nice position, really, with both of these. They're both 5 years old, and they're both by stallions whose progeny really get better
with age.
As mature horses. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure, Steve.
English Channel for Spooky, and point of entry
point
for
of
admission
entry.
Office.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned Terry Hamilton. Let's go in the other direction and talk about the 2-year-old, because Toby's Heart caught everybody's attention. Give us a little background.
Well, she come out of that March sale at OBS, and Alistair Roden, who scouts horses for Terry. I was at the sale myself, and he'd called me and said, "Alistair's got half a dozen horses there. Would you go and have a look at for me?" And so we went through the group he had, and when I called Terry back, I said, "I mean, if you were to buy one, I'd try and buy that Jack Milton, and if you get her, I'll take a third of it." So I was trying to buy a horse at the time, a Intermischief colt that was going through. So I'd looked at her and I'd watched her videos, and I really liked her, but she was not far away from the hip number for the Intermischief colt, so I let it go. And then Terry called me after they'd bought her and said, "Listen, we got that filly." I said, "Did you get the Jack Milton?" He said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Okay, I'm in for a third." He said, "Okay, fantastic." So from there, we sent her up to Keeneland, and she's one of them fillies, particularly coming out of them two-year-old training sales, Steve, when you buy enough of them over the years, they can either deflate on you, they can be speed crazy, yep. They can take a while to settle in, and, sometimes that's the quickest they'll ever run in their life, that quarter mile or eighth of a mile, and the rest of your life you're trying to get the bit back out of the mouth because that's all they want to do. But she was a filly that just came in and she never left a note. She never had a freckle on her shin she's just been a beautiful little sound filly, and she just never missed a beat. And then each time we'd work her, we'd go, "Whoa, whoa." And then, we thought that with the spoon of Jack Milton that she would probably be even better if we put her on the turf. But she'd been working so well on the dirt that, she had us excited there. So Adam had been going over all spring and working babies for us there at Keeneland. So that's how he was, that's how he ended up with the mount. And I thought that she might have been a little betting play first up because she'd showed so much in the morning. I thought Adam wouldn't hurt that odds either. So that went along with putting him up on her. So he gave her a great ride that day, and she certainly showed she overlapped with natural talent. So we look forward to, mapping out a program for her.
Well, this was exciting from a bunch of different angles because she didn't get out of the gate all that well, and then just came marauding around and just won off by herself. I mean, that was visually just a jaw-dropper.
Yeah, it was one of them things, Steve, bought out of a smaller consignment. Don't think she'd ever really seen the gates before she got to Keeneland, and then once we got her there, it was a giddy up and go, let's teach you what these gates are about. And actually, her last work at Churchill before she ran was the work to get a gate card. So that day I was like, "Boy, I hope she breaks." And, she did, but, wasn't super fast. And then, fortunately in that race, I said to Adam, "Look, if she doesn't break that, she doesn't break real sharp, just give her just give her a little chance to find the legs, and then when you feel like she's comfortable, and then you go from there." So it didn't take her too long to find the legs, I guess.
How about that?
But really, what impressed me was when she weaved away through the traffic and got to the quarter pole, and she split horses. When she changed lead, she just looked like she found another gear. So, and the beautiful part about it too is I think she wants to run a lot longer than the 5.5 she ran there the other day. And it was encouraging to see that she, when they ran the boys' division of that race the next day, she ran it 2 seconds quicker than them.
A couple of things. You mentioned her interest in going longer. She's out of a Lil's Lad mare.
Pick
of the pack. So there's plenty of, stamina to be offered there. Yeah. And I'm looking at the family. This has been, this is quite interesting because even though there were some unraced, there were some very, this is the craziest set of stallions that a mare, and this is Trackside Farm. This is Tom Evans, right? So bred and didn't sell, sold to Valentine Jimenez at Phase of October in the yearling sale for $5,500, and then you guys get her for $45,000. This family, this mare, has been covered by Greatness. She had three babies by Greatness in 07, 08, and 09, and two of them were very productive, actually. You know, one was a 13-time winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
know,
not so productive.
Greatness.
Crazy.
He's come with his fair share of runners, too, over the years. He wasn't a bad little stallion. And so, really, when you look down through that family, it's not the worst family out there.
Really interesting. And then a couple of Uncle Abbeys that didn't make the races or were somewhere, you know, shipped off. A Courageous Cat, then Baron and a Slip. And then comes the cover by Jack Milton to deliver this filly. There's now two commissioners, actually, back-to-back. And Commissioner I just saw where Commissioner, I saw yesterday, he got sent somewhere. He's being sent to... He's being sent to, I think, either to Korea or somewhere. He's being exported. We'll get to that. So this is, you know, this is some purchase. $45,000, unbelievable.
Yeah, she's been very, you know, been a big, big interest in trying to buy her or buy pieces of her or anything. But you know, I had a good talk with Terry about it. Terry loves the business. Me and him have always seemed to got lucky together. And I'm in the business to train horses, and he's in the business to own horses. So it's a special little filly that we've got. We named her after Terry's wife. She was always the biggest fan of Heart to Heart, so we called her Toby's Heart. And so she's got some sentimental value there. And so she really is. But she's, you know, that's... Then again, God willing, we're able to keep us healthy and sound, and, you know, she could be a filly that we've sort of thought about. There's a little race in Canada called the Catch a Glimpse, over 6.5, and then 30 days from that is the Natalma up there, which, you know, now a grade one and a win and you're in Breeders' Cup, so we figured if we could, you know, just stair-step her from the 5.5 to the 6.5 to the mile... you know, in a perfect world, if she was continue to improve, then we'd have a shot at maybe getting to the Breeders' Cup this year.
You got yourself a plan. I'd love it. Toby's Heart, one of the exciting performers so far at Churchill this meet for Brian Lynch and for Terry Hamilton, and I, you know, I saw the name, I figured, you know, it was
connection.
Named for Toby, and
yeah.
Really nice. Brian, a couple of quick notes, you know, give us a thought about.
I'll butt in real quick. Terry always said to me, listen, if you feel like we've got one that's worth Toby's name involved, let me know. So as we started the breeze, I think I called him and said, I think we found the one to name your wife after. So that's how that came about.
I love it. Well, and that's a very tricky thing to
have to
deal with. I mean, there's right? There's only so many Frankels. How many Frankels are out there, after all, right?
That's right. You know, there's nothing worse than naming a horse after someone that's, you know, very close to you, and then watching them tail off down the track. It's always nice to hear them draw off and tail off.
Well, and of course, you know, if you have to put them in for a tag, and now you got real trouble. You're like, you're giving away my horse, and it's a mess. It's a mess. Brian, let's look ahead to the rest of the week, and you got a maiden claimer in Veer down at Gulfstream on Wednesday, but at Churchill on Friday, Golden Curl comes back in an allowance.
Yeah, and I think she's, you know, she's four now. I think the last start I gave her last year, she came up with a little hairline in the shin, and she had to have quite a bit of time off. Margot, which Jim and Susan Hill's farm, and Dermot, who's the farm trainer there, we thought we'd get a race into her at Turfway while I was down here, and just have a tightener in her before we hit Queensland. And then everything blew up, and Keeneland was cancelled, and we've all had to deal with what we're dealing with. So we backed off her a little bit, and then brought her. When I got up here, we brought her in, and I just love the filly. She's training so well right now, and it's a competitive race, but I certainly give her a big chance in.
Golden Curl, a curlin for the hills, and Brian, give us a quick barn survey after dealing with things. You know, you mentioned being down in Florida. You were lucky that way. I mean, there were a lot of people that had almost no options. You got to train on, and if you had a race to run, to keep somebody fit and going along, it seems like you got through this pretty well, and you're not playing catch up like a lot of barns are.
Yeah, no, very fortunate, Steve. We're based at Palm Meadows. We were sort of in a little safe bubble there for, we all give ourselves plenty of social distancing, and we were all followed the protocols of plenty of hand sanitizer, plenty of alcohol around the barn, and so everybody, we seemed to get through it. And Gulfstream done a great job with the way they managed everything and was able to keep everything going. So we were blessed that we were here, for sure. So we didn't lose a lot of time with anybody, really. But I am looking forward to the rest of the year as we speak about it, because I feel like I've got the best group of two-year-olds I've had, and there's some really nice ones amongst them, and time will tell. But the Town and Country have come with some really nice two-year-olds. Got a lovely Pioneer of the Nile filly called Promise of the Nile. I talked about that Inter Mischief Colt that we bought out of that mart sale with Toby's Heart. His name is Our Integrity, and so far he's been very exciting to watch train. And the Ammermans have got a... I've got a full to admission office, and we've also got a two-year-old who's a half to Oscar performance, Oscar nominated. So he's still at Barry Berkelheim, is at Abracadabra, but he's just about to come up, and he's by Dan Silly. So he's got wow. All the credentials out of the right family by the right sire, and he's a beautiful looking horse. So didn't think he was going to be early, so we sort of left him, gave him a bit more time, but he's not far away from coming in. And really, this year, I really look forward to our two-year-olds. We don't have a real big barn, but we've got a nice group of horses, and they've certainly got the right pedigrees, and they're certainly the right conformed horses, and they're good styles of horses. So the only one who can screw them up is me, and I'll do my best not to do that.
You mentioned the sibling for admission, the full to admission, and his name is Advanced Placement. So for those that are jotting these down, Advanced Placement, the point of entry two-year-old. It's funny, there was an Animal Kingdom filly who's three. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened
to her? No, Zoology. Her name is Zoology, and she's up. I think she's within 30 days of racing, Steve, and she's been,
Nice.
She was a bit slow coming around as a two-year-old, but she's really seemed to got her act together now, and she's been on a consistent work schedule, and she seems like she's doing really well, and she seems like she can run. So we'll keep our fingers crossed with her, because obviously, she's had a coffee kick, so I'd be leaning towards the dirt, the grass with her, but she's also worked very well on the dirt. So there's a couple of babies out of coffee kick. Her first one is a horse called Coffee Break, who's a go-sapper. So he's within about 30 days of running too, and having been fortunate enough to spend a lot of time around go-sapper and having trained a lot of them, been lucky enough to have the time I've had with Distronics on and off over the years, I've never seen a horse that duplicates Go Sapper like this horse does. His mannerisms, the way he trains, I just hope he can run like him. But he's a really exciting horse that I'm excited about to look forward to, and I think he could debut at either Keeneland or Saratoga once it opens up. But
nice.
I'm excited about him too. He's a three-year-old.
Is the two-year-old sibling, the Uncle Mo, Caribe Bean Mocha?
Yeah, she's in at the barn, and we just actually x-rayed her knee. She's a sort of a slow, maturing filly, and the knees are closed up, and she started to pick up her workload now, and I wouldn't be too surprised if she doesn't hit the work tabs within the next week, and she looks very exciting too. Yeah, now there's another one, that an Uncle Mo out of Coffee Click. I mean, something to look forward to there.
Well, Brian,
and then the hill
when you said
nice 2-year-olds coming too. So when you add them all up,
holy cow!
Like I say, there's a nice group of horses there. God willing, we can.
It's
been a funny year and a slow start to the year, but you know, hopefully, as racing opens up, the barn gets stronger and we're able to showcase a few of these horses.
Well, and I'm going to, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you about one more that I've been waiting to see run back, and it looks like she might be getting close. Osaka Girl for the Ammermans.
Runs this weekend, see? She runs on Sunday at Churchill, and she broke a maiden, you know, I thought very impressively down at Gulfstream. And we gave her some time, and because I felt like she was going to be a three-year-old that developed as the year went on, and she really has. So she'll run in an A other than at Keeneland on Sunday. Hopefully she gets in the race. The entries have been overloaded there, but hopefully she gets in, and that'll kick off her season, and really look forward to a good summer and a good fall with her, because she's really come to hand, grown to a big, good-looking, strong filly, and the last few works have been very strong, and everything says she's good to go.
Very nice. She's a first samurai and another homebred from the Ammerman team. Brian, obviously, you're a juggernaut, it looks like, and always happy to be able to reach out to you on a Monday like this and congratulate you on a big win, that graded stake for admission office, and lots of good things, obviously, lying ahead. So we'll see you. I'm going to guess we're going to see you at Saratoga.
Steve, always great talking to you, and get into that biking, buddy. Don't stop.
I don't know. My first attempt the other morning, we didn't go far, and she said, "You want to go down here?" I said, "I want to go home." I said,
"Yeah, you want to go?"
My calves were holy cow! My calves were screaming. I'm not in bicycle. I'm not Andy Beyer, who does 30 miles a day. It's going to be a while before I get to that.
If you get Brian Lynch, get an engine on that thing.
Now you're talking.
Enjoy your day.
Always thanks, fun. Steve. Thanks, Brian. You too. Bye. So great. Bye-bye. Brian Lynch, you follow. We'll see you in Saratoga. B Lynch Racing to follow Brian, and he's got the little kangaroo. He's got the Roo on his logo at his on his Twitter address, B Lynch Racing. Coming up to the top of the hour, we're gonna have another accent. And you know my theory: the more accents you have on the show, the better it is. And Kevin Humphreys is going to join us. Let's head to the break, and we'll do some Royal Ascot. And later, bottom of the hour, Eric Hallstrom is going to join us, and we'll get excited about Indiana for opening day today. They're getting off and off the mark, and it looks like good strong start to the meet. We also have to talk about the Belmont movement. There's been some interesting decision making, including Basin from the Asmussen camp going toward Bluegrass, but Pneumatic and Jungle Runner both going to contest the Belmont Saturday. And there was plenty of final preparations over the weekend, including your heavy favorite, Tis the Law. Nice, easy final work. Most of his, you know, his heavy lifting work was done already, even before he came north while he was still in Florida. Sol Vellante is going to run, as we kind of speculated. So, Tis the Law, Sol Vellante, the two Pletchers, Dr. Post, and Farmington Road. Max Player, and we got to do something with Max Player during the week because Joel Rosario riding for Linda Rice. Max Player is coming into this thing seemingly fine-tuned. Rice has had plenty of time to get ready, and there's a little bit of a little bit of mojo involved with Max Player, it seems, coming into this. Tap it to win off the quick turnaround for Mrs. Weber and the Cassie team, Johnny V. And then the two Asmussens, waiting for Bill Mott to make the call about Modernist, and he had been leaning elsewhere, but very nice 5/8 yesterday, and Modernist may end up in this field. Let's take a break. Royal Ascot, top of the hour.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Pletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow, what other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Sirius XM.